Check, check, check.
I think we ought to just have a few minutes to wait for others to arrive. In fact, I see some people coming now. I'll get my pen from the car. Just if you like, I should.
It's 9:35.
Well, that's the time that the school was closed. Yeah, right.
The clock stopped.
Like when Lincoln was shot, right?
Hello. We haven't started yet, Carolyn, and your friend here?
Yeah, I'm my friend along.
Do we ask questions of these candidates' backs? Or?
You may.
Yeah, I was expecting you to come.
Oh, are you? It's meeting you here.
I got a good information for you.
Open chairs, huh?
Hey,
how you doing? Great. This is Joe.
Mary Ann?
I put your business.
Well, I'd like to welcome everybody here. This event is Candidates Forum, and it's sponsored by the Friends of Mosquito Lake School and Community Center. And if you don't know anything about the Friends of Friends of Mosquito Lake School and Community Center, we are a nonprofit organization, and we have entered into a management agreement with the borough to manage this facility. And our hope is, and this is what our goal is to manage this facility and as a community center and use that as a bridge to the time when we have enough of a population out here of school children that we can reopen this as a public school. That's our goal. So we've had several functions out here so far this summer since we signed the agreement, and they've all been very successful. And I would invite anyone in the community who feels like they want to get involved with this operation you're welcome. Come to our board meetings and participate. We could use all the help we can get. So what we're going to do tonight is it's going to be very informal. We're going to start off by asking you to introduce yourselves. We'll go in alphabetical order by last name, middle name, first name. And you're going to have to figure that out. I was expecting a crowd about twice or three times this size, but I understand there's an event that's going on in, where is it? Philadelphia or someplace. a couple of people, Hillary and Dawn.
Yeah. Oh,
we're kind of competing
right.
With us a little bit.
Some debate or something?
Some debate or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
Something
what it is.
Immaterial to us, anyway.
So
what we'd like to do is just ask one of you at a time. Be considerate of the other people in the room, because they don't, go on and on and on. But just introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want to run or why you would. This is the baffling. Why would you sign up to run again? Maybe a few words that might spark your interest. Then what we're going to do is we're going to turn it over to the throng here, and they're going to ask some questions that are important to us. And it shouldn't be kind of I'm not going to call on anybody. People out here will just ask the questions they get as they see some space open for them. So with that, you can start on this end. Oh, I thought we were going alphabetically. We were.
Dom's been working on it.
He's
got it all figured out.
Dubber, Erickson's in there after Dubber. My name's Tom Morfitt. I think I know most of you folks. I've been here for 30 years. I started here as a reporter in 1986. I've worked as the manager of the newspaper since 2004, four and a half years ago, I became the publisher of the newspaper. I've also served I was the first president of the Friends of the Library. I've been president of the Haynes Arts Council. I started the Polar Bear Dip. I'm an organizer of the Haynes Community Marching Band. Long time, 20 years some member, or member and volunteer at the Haynes Southeast State Fair. And the reason that I'm running is that I love this town. I love the people that live here. And I wouldn't have stayed here for 30 years if I didn't. And I feel like the government has struggled at times. And oftentimes, as a reporter, I sit there and I go, oh, if they would only do what this thing that the assembly did 5 years ago. And more recently in the paper, I've chosen to put those thoughts into the editorials in the paper. But that's not a vote. That's not a vote. That really doesn't. A lot of times, you know, people don't get around to reading the paper, or they think, well, that's just Tom Morfitt's view. And I think I can be effective. I believe I can help the community along, partly because I've had 30 years of being impartial and talking to people from all sides of issues, and also because I've seen stuff that works and things that don't. And I have four main topics that I'd like to hit on in my campaign, and they are working together, moving things along, focus on families, and keeping issues in perspective. And I don't want to take up all the time, but I can give you examples of those as we move along in the meeting. Thank you.
I'm Heather Lendy, and also know just about all of you. And I am a writer, and I've written three books kind of about life in Haines from my perspective as the obituary writer. So I write the obituaries for the Chilkat Valley News, and Tom has served as my editor for a lot of years. I also own Lutech Lumber with my husband, and we're celebrating 30 years in business this year. And I've raised five children here, and I currently have four grandchildren in Haines, which I think gives me a pretty good reason to run. I've been on the school board and the borough assembly before. I was on the borough assembly back when it was a third-class borough, and it's much different now, obviously. And I've also served for many years on the library board, Hospice of Haines, KH&S. I was a founding member of the Chilkat Valley Community Foundation, and a longtime pool supporter, parks and recreation. I coached the high school cross-country team as a volunteer for 17 years, and have a passion, I think, for young people. Like Tom, and I think probably like all of us, I'm running because I love this town as much as you all do. And I think I can bring some, hopefully, good energy to the assembly. I was at a finance committee meeting a couple weeks ago, and I think that one of the things that current assembly does very well, and it's a word they use a lot, is play the devil's advocate. They're really good at the devil's advocate, and I think all of us intuitively are. We can point out what's the problem. We can point out what if the worst-case scenario happens. And it was a particular discussion of forming a community that I actually thought was a good idea. And Mike Case looked around and he said, I want to be with her. I want to be an angel's advocate. And I know it sounds corny, but I mean it. I think I'd like to be on the assembly to say, you know, why not? We could try that. Yes, let's listen to what people have to say. I mean, that's not such a nutty idea. Maybe we should try it. That's what I think I can bring to it, along with some experience and perspective. And I think I have a lot of fairly solid relationships in the community with a lot of real different people that could help me make decisions and guide me on things that I might not be the smartest person in the room on. I know a lot of people who are that would help.
My name is Ryan Cook. I was born and raised here in Haines. Graduated from high school. Worked for Tlingit and Haida here and in Juneau, and then back and forth. Have two daughters that have went to school here. One just is in just seventh grade. She's pretty happy that she's in the woodshop class and passing all of her tests that she needs to pass. And I want to run for the assembly because I think I see no new people stepping up, no younger people. I'm involved with the Fish and Game Wildlife Advisory Committee on the Bald Eagle Preserve, and also the president of the Lynn Canal Gill Netters. I see problems with the just growing up and seeing how it was then with jobs and everything around, and now there's not very much. Wintertime has heliskiing, but it gets shut down just as much as it tries to get going. And I grew up traveling out of this valley here in my uncle's logging truck. hauling logs out of here with him. I would sit at the end of the driveway and wait for him to come up with the logging truck, and off we'd go. And you don't see that anymore. Everybody tries to shut down any kind of industry that starts here. And I think we need some jobs. I somewhat support the mine. It's just an exploration right now. It's not even a mine. And if they can figure out a way to do it above a watershed that has fish in it, that's not going to have a tailings dam, then why not let them? Like Heather said, we don't know, right? The Pogo, they put all their stuff right back into the hole. They don't have any tailings dam or anything like that. We don't know what it's going to do. It would create a lot of jobs. I fish it all summer long. I think all of July, I was in town for 72 hours. And that's it. That was life, you know. You kiss your summer goodbye, but hey, I like it here. I've been born here, raised. I love Haines. But just some of the things that you see go on, I just shook my head at, and it's like, man. And so one of my friends told me, well, you can sit back on the sidelines and just bitch and bitch and bitch, or you can just jump into the game and be the one that everybody's getting bitching about. So I just jumped in. Thank you.
My name is Diana Lapham. I know just about everyone in the room. I'm a 28-year resident of Haines. After my husband passed away, it took me a couple years to kind of find my footing, and I thought, what better way to give back to the community that had given me so much? And by that, I mean I have been involved in nonprofits. I was involved with the Alcan 200 in organizing it and putting it on, and now I just help. I'm a gopher. But I've been involved in the Emblem Club when it was a viable organization. Been involved in volunteer work. I am a hospice volunteer, although I passed and got my certificate, and then I got elected to the assembly, so I have not been able to use that very much, except I am there for my friends when they need me. Why do I want to be reelected? 3 years is not long enough. It is a huge learning curve. And after 3 years, you still don't know it all. It still comes at you. The best way, the only way I can put it into perspective is at least now I can formulate and make good motions, and I can understand the terminology, the language. It's like its own special language when you sit up on the assembly. The rules and regulations are incredible. What the borough has to abide by, it's not like 5 years ago or 10 years ago. There's a whole different set of plain rules. Our financial situation with the state, as all of you are aware, is in dire straits and forecasted to get even worse. This facility and the Friends of the Mosquito Lake Community Center are a shining example of cooperativeness between the borough and a group that is willing to implement, the borough is willing to facilitate this building. Not many people realize it, but when it came to the Chilkat Valley Preschool and the senior citizens, that was my concept. I called the mayor up on a Saturday morning and I said, I have this idea, I don't know if it's even a sound idea, but I need to bounce it off of you. We met down in her office Saturday morning. David Sosa was the manager then, walked in and we bounced it off of him. He called up Brad Ryan, and Brad said, okay, let's try it. You want to try something new? You don't think, we don't listen to new things. We need to cooperate. We need to listen to what the community wants. We need to come to a good middle ground on how we can implement it, because the financial aspect is not there and it won't be there. Long story short, my concept bloomed into a wonderful program. We've got the seniors and the Chilkat Valley Preschool. They're being able to add on to what the senior center has down there, and it's another good example of cooperative effort. And that's what we need. That's what I want to pursue in my, if I'm fortunate enough to get reelected, my second term, is the assembly has had some rough goes this past winter. And it's not because of anything the assembly has done. It's, I don't really know how to explain it, but the assembly is there. We listen to you. We listen to everything that you say that is on your mind, that is you are concerned with. If for some reason we don't vote the way you think we should vote, it's not because we have not listened to you. There are other aspects that are drawn into it. There's just something else that changes. I have gone into assembly meetings well-read, well-researched. I have the time to do that. And I've had my mind changed in the meeting simply by what somebody has said in the meeting. I don't ever go in with a cast in concrete, this is how I'm going to vote. I go in middle of the road, so to speak. But we need to all work together, and that is basically, not only do we need to get out and vote, but we need to all work together.
Hi, my name is Judy Erickson. I've lived here since 1990. Came for the summer, and I got a job at KH&S as my first job. As the business manager, I've got three daughters that I've raised. My youngest is a senior in college right now. The other two are off, which I've got two grandkids that are trying to move back to Haines. I've got a lot of experience with the numbers and stuff. I've been doing accounting and bookkeeping for 30, 40 years. And that's what I think I can bring to the table. I understand budgets, I can look at numbers, and I think maybe ask certain questions. I did the accounting at the KH&S, and I'm the business manager at the school right now. I was on the school board from 2002 after consolidation till I started working at the school in 2009, and pretty much did the bond for the new school when I was on the school board. I did the whole campaign and got that bond passed, so I'm kind of familiar with that from start to finish with big projects and how things do get changed, and you kind of keep track of what's going on, and it's just how hard it is to decide, to get everybody to decide on what they want and things like that. I feel I know what it costs to do business. I pay all the bills at the school, so I know, you know, the cost of electricity and oil and garbage and all those things, so I'm aware of that. I just love Haines. The kids, the teachers, I think I've connected to enough people and have access to, you know, people can access me, and I just want to be there for to make sound choices and listen to people and maybe help with the budget, you know, with the state. I know people with Rasmussen and the Foraker. I've been on the museum board, the KH&S board, the Art Confluence. I'm currently on the Art Confluence and the Canal Broadcasting. I coached volleyball for 7 years, so I know about kids and traveling and the ferries, how important the ferries are. And one of my things is the internet. I'm glad that AT&T is putting some new fiber optics. Hopefully it'll help our internet, because I know that's an economic driver. We've had people that have moved here to work online or telecommute, and they just can't do it. They can't it's not, call it, like on Wednesdays, you know, you just, it's not, you can't do business if you need to. And so that would be something I'd like to look into. And Mosquito Lake, that was heartbreaking for us when we couldn't open it. I know at the school, it just, everything happened, the numbers went down. I mean, we just don't have any choice. But once, if you get the numbers, as far as I know, that wouldn't be a problem, you know. Maybe more than 10, because that's a little close, but, so, yeah, that would be great. And, yeah, I just want to be a voice and work on projects and keep Haynes, just to expand on what we have. And I do think, I know I heard Leslie Ross on the radio talk about the new cruise ships coming because we're authentic and we're not like Skagway and Juneau, and I think that's I like that part because I have people tell me all the time, oh wow, don't become another Skagway, or this is what we came for, and you know, you're the real deal, and I think we are, and that's something we can expand on. So thanks for having us.
My name is Leonard Dubber. I know a lot of you guys. And my wife and I have the laundromat in town. And I've been self-employed almost all of my life. I fished for 30 years and then moved to Haynes. I fished almost up till we moved to Haynes. And I've served on the Energy Committee, and that was a good look at government accomplishing nothing. We spent probably 3 years doing talking about sustainability and energy, and they hired a Stephanie Scott to write reports, and they probably collect dust real well right now. It does look like they're moving towards some chip energy here, possibly. But I really believe, I got on there because I was in the oil heating business, and I believe that with some new energy, oil energy systems, and some reworking of the insulation and upgrading the energy efficiency of the buildings, it could have saved 20 or 30%. Instead, we've chased a lot of other things that really haven't brought us great savings. There was a lot of talk when the school was being built about putting in cordwood boilers. And somebody brought up the point that they'd have to hire somebody, which probably wasn't true, to feed them. But it got derailed so easy. But I went to Fairbanks as part of that committee, they sent me to Fairbanks to a wood energy committee. And by the time I came back, I bought a garn for myself, because I saw that as, and I'm using it now today. I think we have way too many studies. We spend way too much money that we, even when you hear them go out for a study, you know isn't really going to accomplish anything. And with the way that the budgets are with the state and how ours are going to go down, we need to cut the budget. I am definitely a budget hawk. I want to see smaller budgets and less time wasting. I do not believe, my dad was a state trooper, and he was a state trooper in Bush, Alaska. And I, having that background, do not understand why we need even 24-hour coverage. He was a state trooper in Homer. He covered about 4,000 to 6,000 people. and he was the only officer. He didn't. He had one brown shirt there as a backup, and things went fine. He wasn't overworked. So there's just a lot of things. Government isn't successful unless it's growing. And that's what I think we have to figure out a way to stop it from growing, because, you know, we hire people, we bring up a chief in from Washington, D.C. He's naturally going to think that we need more officers, more police. I don't believe that. I believe that we need to operate as a small Alaskan town. Thank you.
We would open this up to questions from the audience.
Well, I guess I'll jump in there. First of all, thank you for all coming up to be at the forum. I'm very pleased that you're all here. Some of you probably know that the Upper Valley is pretty much very heavily used for heliskiing, and there currently is a possibility that we'll be looking at the heliski map again, maybe opening that up for some review. I've seen the proposals, and one of my concerns is an expansion of the map across from where I live, and I'd kind of like to know your how you would support neighborhoods that are being influenced and experiencing excessive helicopter noise from the heliski operations. I don't know if, just anybody. I'm not directing to anyone in particular.
I'll take that. I think heliskiing is an issue that gets back to my issue of keeping things in perspective. My biggest gripe with heliskiing is we spend weeks, months, revisiting the issue. Where areas? We want these new areas. We want a special area. We're burning up time that we should be spending figuring out our budget, figuring out a response to these state cuts. We've lost about, I think, probably at least $500,000 from the town in payroll from the loss of our forestry office, by the loss of our public health office. We just lost the judge position in Haines. So I say the heliski map, revisit it every 5 years, not every 3 years. This town has bigger fish to fry than where those helicopters go. And my second point on that is that I don't want to see those helicopters on the front range. And that means if you're on River Road and you've paid through the nose for a home down on River Road, you shouldn't have to listen to or see helicopters. And where you're at, if they're in the back range, and forgive me, Carrie, I haven't studied the maps, but if you're in the back range, I guess I'm more amenable to operations back there. But you and Ron have been here 40 years and have sunk all of your life's earnings into your property. And it's the Perro's job to protect your property values. And to at least acknowledge those as a value that is eroded, potentially, by these helicopters, and depending on where they go. So I don't want to spend another winter on this issue. I think that we have big issues with our declining enrollment, not attracting young families to this town. You know, we get wrapped around the axle on things like the Harbor Project. We should have gone to a vote of the people a year ago. Its design should have been voted on. We would have been past it. And this gets to my issue of moving things along. I don't think necessarily we're that divided a community. I think every community is divided on issues. I think our problem is we haven't figured out how to resolve them. And one thing that we have is a power of referendum. And the power of referendum is, when you have a 4-2 vote, which is what the assembly vote was on the harbor, for a $20 million project, you go, 4-2. Now that seems like it's a fair amount of doubt. Let's, with our power of referendum, refer it to the voters and give the voters a couple months give the opposition and the proponents a chance to educate the voters to their points of view, put it on the ballot. Done deal. We did this once in the late 1990s. Leighton Bennett at LAB and Temsco both proposed to have helicopter tours, summer helicopter tours. They started at the airport and went to the Catskills, so they'd be going over town. And a group of citizens, through the initiative process, which is just like referendum, put that issue to the ballot. It was just an advisory question, no power, no authority. The voters of the Haines Borough said, we don't want that. So what happened? So LAB and Temsco said, we'll do something else. Fine. Issue over. It was the shortest lived debate in Haines. It's a simple mechanism of government that we have. Once everybody has spoken their piece, put it on the ballot, decide it, and move on. We have bigger fish to fry. So that's my issue on, that's my position on how I scheme.
Thank you.
Carol, if I may, and I'm going to fall back on code because this actually, it is in our code every 3 years to visit the Heliskiing map. The reason why the issue was brought up here just recently is our area of code, as far as the timelines were concerned, were flawed. And it had not been taken into consideration. There was not enough time for either the heliski operators or the public to be weighing in, getting a commitment. It just was not a good situation. I sit on the Tourism Advisory Board, and this is the board, the committee, that took up that issue. And actually, they have taken up Title V. They are revising Title V, which has to deal with tours and permits. And this particular issue, what they are bringing to the assembly by way of the planning committee, is in 3 years, in, let's see, say 19 or 20, the map is supposed to be opened up. If there's no new proposals, if there is no issues, the map won't be opened up. Nobody wants to open up the map. The borough does not want to open the map arbitrarily and say, okay, here's our map, now what do we want to do? No, we don't want to do that. But the timeline is in code to protect not only the community, but also the heliskiing operators as well. So if there aren't, like right now, we have two proposals that were brought in to the borough in the time frame which made them legal proposals, that we have to address them. And what the TAB board did is they revised that whole timeline structure and then put a clause in there so that we can, as the assembly, look at these two proposals, because they were turned in a timely manner to the borough. I haven't seen the proposals. They haven't come to us yet. So I don't know, you know, what that's going to entail. But it's there as a protection for both parties, whether it's the community or the heliski operators. But like I said before, if there is no issue in 3 years, the borough is not going to open up the map because it says so, unless someone presents a proposal. And per their constitutional right, they can do that.
I think having been on the Planning Commission and gone around and around about this at a lot of meetings in the last 3 years, I mean, almost every couple of months, there it is again. And I think it really comes down to listening to residents and concerns, and not every time the wind blows with a new operator or a new idea, suddenly change the rules. And I think that has become very problematic in the whole thing. And I look at, I mean, maybe it's simplistic to say, but I mean, good grief, we're all about to start moose hunting, or some people are, and we have these antler restrictions and we have season restrictions, and everybody does it. Like, we all follow the rules, we know what they are every year. We haven't changed the season because it's warmer this year and they might not be in rut, or we haven't changed it because somebody didn't get their moose for 4 years and they need the meat. It's, the rules are the rules. And it seems like what happens with the heliski industry is that it's constantly being pushed that we need to change the rules. And it would seem that if we want to keep everybody happy, surely there's enough room for heli-skiers to heli-ski, and there's enough room for them to do it without bothering people too much. And I think we can figure that out. I think it's really frustrating, though, when you go to a lot of meetings and you spend a lot of time, and then all of a sudden it's opened up again. And on this one, I would agree with Tom. You just have to say, here are the rules. This is how we do business here. Same way, this is how the gillnetters do business. This is how hunters do business. This is how we all do it, and say, that's how it is. Doesn't matter if the weather's different. Doesn't matter if you didn't get what you had to get this opening. You've got a closure now, and we're done. And I think the heli-ski people have to do that, too. We all abide by fickle climates and fickle natural resources here. The other thing, too, and I'll say this, and this is what I've leaned on when Diana was talking about code and rules and stuff and plans. We have the comprehensive plan, and in it there's a lot of really great information. And one of the things that I keep coming back to on the commission is that Haines has a really weird economy, and that we have almost, it's like 36% of the residents here don't earn their living in Haines. They don't have to be here. And it's about a third of our economy. And the Planning Commission, the comprehensive plan in it, warns that we have to treat that part of the economy seriously because it's critical. We can't ignore that section. And so to me, that's residents, people here for a particular lifestyle, and we have to pay attention to it because it makes economic sense. It's real estate, it's taxes, it's community, it's kids in schools. And not that that outweighs the other ones, but I think too often we dismiss residents in favor of business interests. And I think we have to do a little dance and do our best to keep everybody happy. And I don't think it's that hard if we just know what the rules are and we follow them.
I agree. I think there's been a lot of, you hear every year, every 6 months, you're always hearing the heli-ski issues coming up over and over and over again. But plans do have to be reviewed, just like our fishing allocation plan. Nobody wants to open it up. None of the groups of fishermen want to even touch it. But they're going to have to, and it's coming up in December. And from what I can hear, they sort of just looked at it and said, oh yeah, here's what's going on. They just still want to put it to the back, you know? They just don't want to open it up and look at it because they're afraid what will actually happen. You know, that say the seiners and the trollers are way out and the gillnetters are way up out in their allocation, and if they took some nonprofits out, mom and dad, like DIPAC and stuff, it would change the whole thing. And this permitting and studies and everything for the heli-skiing goes the same way. And plans have to be reviewed, not maybe not every 3 years. If everything's good, unless a proposal comes up or something, then yeah, it'd have to be opened or have to be looked at least. But if nothing, maybe 10 years. I think that's what like our allocation plan is, like 10 years to look, open it up and look at it again. It takes a while. 3 years is a really short time. You get a new set of laws. The first year, you're trying to figure them out. The second year, okay, I sort of got it figured out. Third year, I finally got this figured out, and you change it again. I got to change it. I got to figure this out again. You know? Yes. Oh, no. That's how I feel.
Well, being a budget hawk, one that doesn't, I think, having watched this since I've been here, we've spent a lot of money on heli-skiing and accomplished next to nothing. From what I can see, I'd like to see the borough out of the heli-skiing business. They've started limited entry for heli-skiing companies now. That's just another form of crony capitalism. The borough saying, picking winners and losers. And so I know that that isn't popular with a lot of you, but you need to know what I believe. And I just believe that it's really a waste of time and money to keep playing with this issue.
Yeah, I kind of agree with the money spent on some of the, all the surveys and studies, but I'm not make any changes until like you say, when they open it up again, my fear is that we have three or four different heliports, and I just,